and welcome to the GTM podcast with me. My name's Alex. You can find me at AlexDoesCars on Twitter. And I'm with Bentley. Hello, Bentley.
Hello, Bentley.
Hello, Bentley. I just said hello, Bentley.
Hello, Bentley.
I've said hello to myself. Hello. Hello. I'm Bentley Perkins, and my Twitter handle is it Bentley P?
I think it's Bentley P. I'm not sure.
I think it's Bentley P.
I'm not sure. You can find me at Don't Stare with a Zero on Instagram, though, because I like to take selfies.
There you go. Don't Stare with a Zero.
Yes.
You selfie king.
I'm a selfie king. I have no likeability at all, according to the scientists.
Yeah, it's been scientifically proven.
Scientifically proven, indeed.
It's been quite a while since we've done this.
It is.
The last one went up in March.
Yeah.
So it's been a good few months. Yeah. So this new series of podcasts is going to be a little bit different. What we're going to be doing is, instead of talking about the news, which a lot of you find quite interesting. It's not overly interesting for us.
Tedious.
Yeah. So instead, instead of just talking about the news, which you can find on the website, grandtournation.com. Hey, cheeky
little blog.
We're actually going to bring in people and talk to them, which will be great. So we're going to try and get people within the industry.
Jesus is going to be first. We're going to bring him in.
Yep.
Say hello to Jesus.
Walk on water. We're going to find people in the industry who have something interesting to say, funny stories, how they started their business and how they sell stuff, and you know, just interesting little anecdotes like that.
Nuggets of goodness,
exactly. But to begin, we actually haven't got anyone, so we're just going to be talking about
each other amongst ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
The loners.
Exactly. So, yes, people don't like us. No, so for this one, because it's been such a long time. Because it's been such a long time, we wanted to talk about what we have been doing since the last podcast. What projects we've got going. What's happening with our cars. What's happening with work. What's happening with the website. Now, Bentley, you've got quite a few projects going
on. I've always got projects on the go, let's be honest.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of, let's say a lot of motoring projects, because I know you're a very creative man. And
I am.
You're always building something or making something or
yes.
producing something. What are you building at the moment?
Well, I think we should start from the beginning. So, about 2.5 months ago, 2 months ago, I bought a 3D printer. And that has, rolled into other projects because it's enabled me to do things I couldn't do before. I've always done CAD, and I really wanted one, so now I've got one. And it's
just for those who don't, for some reason, know what a 3D printer is. What does it do?
What does it do? So you design your product, whatever you want, on the computer, and then you take that little file and you put it in the printer, and the printer creates it in all different kinds of materials. It's in a three-dimensional space, so if you wanted to create a cardboard box with plastic, so it's just a plastic box, you could make it. See where I was going with that? It's good, wasn't
it? I did.
Yeah.
I did. That was great.
You could do that. But you can actually also print with... mine's not quite that advanced, but you can print with carbon fiber, metal, wood is one of them. Apparently mine can do... Yeah, apparently mine can do the wood. You can actually stain it and sand it. So,
I thought you meant it'll literally put, like, it'll build wooden structures.
It will.
Do you mean build it from a chunk of wood or from nothing?
From nothing.
Because that's
from nothing.
What? How does it do that?
Yeah, it's got.
It's building life.
Literally, it's got. So what they do is the filament is basically like recycled wood, like chipboard, or like MDF. Like MDF. Imagine how MDF is.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It prints with the MDF sort of... It looks and feels like MDF.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can obviously sand it and stain it and do whatever you can to MDF. Obviously, the only thing it has got is there's a slight content of... To make it flow and stick, it's got a very small content of plastic in it.
Okay.
So, obviously, if you were to burn it, it wouldn't burn like MDF. And it won't also expand like MDF, which is quite nice, but it is still real wood. It smells like wood as well.
Cool. Pretty cool. So what are you using that for?
So I've been using that for making. Initially, I bought it for my RC cars because I like RC cars. I'm a big model fan.
There are a lot of people on our social sites who love
remote
RC
control
cars.
Things. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm big. You can hit me up. I'm a major fan of them. I love everything that's remote control: helicopters, planes, boats, whatever you can call it.
Nice.
But that's why I started making bits for myself because, well, me and my mates always kind of trashed cars. We like to fire them off. My last jump that broke my car was like a 25-foot leap that kind of ended up with a wheel going flying and an arm and a suspension.
An arm?
Yeah, and the A-arm.
Did it
yeah.
hit someone?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. So they smashed up and then... So I've got that currently on the dinner table.
Right.
Yeah, as per usual. And that is being fixed with parts that would have other cost me probably about 40 quid to repair it. It's cost me 15p.
15p, wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad,
I mean, obviously the machine was 150 quid, but you only have to do a few of those and you've offset it.
To make up for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's freaking great. So I got that, and then what else? What did I get next? So then, I suppose vehicle, a large scale vehicle project, really, is we sold the TBR van. I've literally sold that as of tonight, to be honest.
Which is a huge thing because that van's been with you for years.
It has. It's been with me for the last 2 years. I've got very, very attached to it. My late grandma bought that van for me, so there's a little bit of sadness within me on the sale of that one. But
oh yeah, understandable.
Yeah. But sadly, she's gone. She's gone to a good home, which is nice.
This is the van, not your nan.
Yeah, no, my nan went to a home and then she passed away. I just thought I'd clear that up. I can hear you grinning in my ears. That was amazing. I could actually hear you grinning.
I didn't know what to say at that point.
I know you didn't. No, so that's why I laughed with you. Yeah, so that happened and then... Basically, I got £400 for the van, and that is going on the Zafira, which I've bought. Yes. A Vauxhall Zafira. I bought it off my friend, who sold it to me very, very cheaply through a loss of his own, which sad time, unfortunately. But, so he sold me that for a very cheap price. And that's a one owner since new. It's got 80,000 miles on the clock. It's been treated, looked after, and mechanically sound ever since because it's always been looked after by him.
Sure.
So that's become my project, really, because I'm going to make it into a stealth van.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if they have the Zafira in America.
America!
And I would think that the majority of people listening to this will be from America. I'm going to have a quick look and see what the American version is, if they've got it.
I suppose the easiest way to describe it would be Chrysler big truck. I can't even remember the name of it. What's their freaking great big seven-seater that they've got?
Oh, I know what it is.
Cruiser.
Know.
No. It's the Chrysler Land Voyager. Chrysler Voyager. Yeah. Chrysler it's the Voyager, isn't it? So I would assume they've got that. Think that and take about 2 foot off the back of it. You've got
yeah, make it British size.
Yeah, make it British size. Yeah, so I've bought that. That's going to be a stealth van, so I'm planning on basically taking the middle seats out of the seven, leaving the rear foldables in. I'm going to board it out so it's like a boarded van. And what I'm going to do with the floor is I'm going to concertina it, a bit like a Venetian blind in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can fold back two layers, pull the rear seats out, and then fold one layer forward.
It's going to be basically a flatbed in the back when it's all sorted down.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's my plan to build it. I'm going to do that with ply, and then I'll probably put a little bit of like carpet tile or something on the top just so it looks... You know, it's got grip, basically.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
That's one of the things. Then it stinks of smoke. I don't like that. I'm not a smoker.
Yeah, so we're going to get on that.
We are. Yeah. Well, this is. So I suppose I should say the background. So initially, this Saphira had stickers on it and many eBay things. It had.
So you had to unpimp it.
I did. Yeah. It was pimped in a
in a very British way.
I wouldn't even say British. It was. Yeah. There's not really a word. Eccentric.
Eccentric.
It could
okay.
be eccentric, yeah. Eccentric to the point where it had police tape down the side and on the rear.
No.
It had a rally LED brake light system going across the rear window. A dog,
really?
Yeah, a dog sticker with a dog sticker on the back window where its bum and tail was the wagging tail of the window wiper.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It had Come On You Hammers, which is a football team, I believe. I don't do football, so I wouldn't know.
Nope.
It had that across the back. LEDs on the front in many varieties.
It's West Ham.
Oh, it's West Ham, is it? Yeah, so it had many varieties of LEDs on the front, including nice. Some that had been screwed into the bumper with screws.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So they've left some nice marks on the bumper.
Yeah.
There was inside, you had everything that was on the inside. If it wasn't boltable, so if you couldn't chuck a house screw through it, it was super glued.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. So my dash has got super glue on it, quite a bit of it. So they were cleared. That was, God, how many things? How many things? There was so much shit on it. On the front screen, you had three dancing solar flowers, a dancing solar flower, beach ball football thing. Don't know what it was. Indescribable item. A hula lady that also danced. It had a big LED clock, just because you need one of them. What else did
when
it
When you
have?
Haven't got a phone or a watch.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. And then it had multiple dangly furry dice.
Okay.
And the middle console next to the handbrake was an ashtray.
Oh, no.
Yes. Glorious.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah, that's really not good.
No.
Okay.
So me and Liam cleared that out pretty much. Jamie, the son of the man that passed, is he kindly got rid of most of the stuff for me, stickers and other bits and bobs. And then he left a load of stuff in the back, which I asked him to do. I said, whatever you don't want, leave in the back and I'll dump it for you.
Sure.
So I had a ritual fire in the garden.
Nice.
Yeah, which everything burnt, including the deck chair that was there and the fluffy cushion.
And the fluffy cushion.
It was
cushion.
A good
oh
fire.
Yeah, I bet.
It was glorious. It smelled good as well. Yeah.
Liam, so what's Liam next then?
So I think I said I'm going to black out the windows. I'm going to do a 4% blackout on those rear windows. I'm going to black out the headlining, potentially black out the plastics that come from the headline to the doors, because the doors are like a graphite grey, but the B pillar covers and the A pillar covers are like a cream. A creamy colour. I would imagine they were originally white, but the tar has kind of got to
them. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to be black as well, I think. Or a grey. I'm not sure yet. I've got to decide on that one.
So we need to properly get in first and just scrape all the crap out.
Yeah.
So
we've got a lot of it, to be honest. A lot of it has gone. I've got rid of most of it, but there's a lot more to get.
I, for those of you who don't know, I started, I suppose, self-employment as a detailer. So,
indeed.
I'm going to put those techniques that I've learned over a very short detailing career into the Saphira. And actually, I've had an idea which I've never seen done before.
Right.
For the headliner. So, obviously, you've got a massive smoke sponge, really. Like your whole car's just soaked up all the smoke from the smoking.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking, instead of having to, because usually what you do is take a brush and you'd agitate the headliner really gently, because it's obviously got glue and it's a fragile material.
Oh no, this headliner's glue's gone, matey. We're ripping it out.
Oh, you're gonna rip it? Oh god damn it, I had such a good idea to clean it.
We're gonna clean it anyway.
Should have told me that. But before you rip it out?
No, I'm gonna rip it out to clean it, because I'm going to spray it, aren't I? I'm going to dye it. So I'm sure your idea will still work.
Oh, yeah, we can still do the idea. So, so the idea is getting a polisher, like a rotary polisher, with a microfiber polishing pad on it.
Mm.
But, I mean, you use microfiber on the plastics, don't you? You use it, hand microfiber, like just like cloth or something.
Yeah.
I think that'll do. I think it'll be gentle. But, you know, we'll use a bit of interior cleaner and whatnot. I think it'll be gentle, but it would, with an increase in speed, it can get a bit of cleaning power behind it. And we could get to it quite quickly.
Sounds good to me.
So I'm hoping it works and doesn't just burn through it. But
thanks.
Maybe I should try first on my car.
It wouldn't matter with that dented roof and my fat ass on it.
Exactly. Yeah, my roof is still bloody dented. I'm going to get nothing for that car when I do eventually come to bloody sell it.
Oh, sorry about the dent in the roof. This was my friend's bum. I hope you like the shape of it.
Yeah, you can see the outline here.
Yeah. I left a coal mark to outline it.
Yes. So, I mean, before we get into my car, let's carry on with your project. So that's the Saphira. Is there anything else you want to add to it?
There's just going to be a couple of other bits. It's got a DVD player in the back, so I'm going to remount that with the headlining. When I put the headlining up, I'm going to mount that properly to a board, and I've got loads of little neodymium magnets. And I'm going to put neodymium magnets on the headlining. So if you ever need to take it off to service what's behind it, like a DVD player wiring or the audio or whatever like that.
Oh, nice.
And I'm also, this is the other reason. So the reason I'm doing that is, basically, most people probably know, is obviously you get the screw covers. For like the B-pillar covers and stuff, you get the little caps that go over the screw holes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to 3D print some little copies of them, but in transparent, and put LEDs behind them.
Ooh.
So it should look quite limo-y in a way in the back when you've got the rear seats
that
up and that.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Are you going to put in some kind of barrier between the back seats and the front seats?
That's going to be I'm literally going to do a on magnets again. They'll be behind it. I'll have a big magnet on each corner, and that will just be literally a blackout blind with magnets sewn into the corners. So you can just clip it on, clip it off.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So everything's reversible as well?
Pretty much, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, everything that's can be really taken cool. out and changed if you want, apart from obviously the dyed bits that you couldn't change.
Sure. So it sounds as though there's going to be quite a bit of weight. What engine is it? Is it a diesel?
No, this shouldn't be any weight. I'm taking out the middle seats. They're like 100 and something kilos on their own.
Yeah,
I was thinking you'd keep it up, if anything. But it isn't. No, it's a 1.6 petrol.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turbo.
That's not too bad.
Where is that going? I'm just going to be a bee for a second. It's gutless. But you expect that because it's a tank and it's a 1.6.
Yeah.
But it gets it does 80 easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hey, who needs more than that?
Exactly. Well, yeah, who needs more than that when you've got an R1?
Exactly, yeah. It's not like this is the fast one.
Yeah, the R1 is the baby for the speed.
Yeah. So, shall we talk very quickly about the R1? Because you, the listener, will hopefully know something. If not, then please go back and listen to previous podcasts.
Yep.
You'll hopefully know something about the R1. Just a brief overview, Bentley. What
brief
happened?
Overview.
Why did you buy it?
February. I bought the R1 in February. Rode it for 100 miles. It broke down. Fixed it. Rode it for another 25 miles. It broke down. Fixed it. Rode it for another 35, 40 miles. It broke down. Took about six weeks. Okay. I fixed it.
so it's been a really good bike.
Honestly, it looked glorious when I bought it. It still does. It's a sexy thing. It really is. As machines go, it's beautiful. Mechanically, it just been attacked by multiple. I'm not going to name anyone because you don't know who it was. It's had, it's 2004. It's probably had I don't know, I can't remember what's on the logbook, but it's probably had 15 owners, something like that, because the bikes shift quite quick. And at some point, obviously, through its life, it's just had some shitty mechanics touching it. And it was bodged. A lot of it was bodged. Fortunately, everything I've done has been done to the best of my abilities. I'm not going to say right, because it is right in my head, but to someone else, it might not be. It's all done to spec. I bought
torque
wrenches.
That was very diplomatic.
And...
my God.
Pardon?
That was very diplomatic. My God.
It was. It was, actually.
It's like you've done this internet thing before.
Yeah. I am me. I'm perfect. I'm not going to say that, because I'm not. but yeah, no, so I've changed the fuel tank, I've changed the fuel pump, I've changed the radiator, I've changed the radiator, a couple of the radiator hoses, I've changed the TPS sensor, I've changed the plugs, I've changed the clutch, I've changed the sump, I've changed the sump plug, I've changed...
Have you got your pens and pencils again? Yeah. There will be a test.
Yeah,
in
the end. There will. I'm going to test you on all of them. Everything that I've replaced, I've done without like original parts or better. So the clutch is a race spec clutch. I've changed those bits out, and then I did all the bolts and stuff have been changed with like either high tensile or stainless, depending on the application. Mm-hmm. So obviously, stainless doesn't like holding high tension, but that's the R1 pretty much. The R1 at the moment. When I took it out after I'd done the clutch, it was like a different bike.
Really?
It was
so what? Was the
mental.
Clutch slipping before
It was
that?
Slipping, yeah, and I obviously didn't know until it started to oscillate, and you can hear it oscillating. I was thinking, hang on a second, the gears are now clunking a lot, so it's probably time. And on a clutch on a bike, I mean, on a car it's a bit different, but the way a clutch basket works is out of spec is... on mine was, I think it's 2.3 millimetres is the in-spec, and it's 2.225 is out. So it's literally like
bloody hell.
Thousandths of an inch, and it's that's it. It's had it. So that's all replaced. It's good.
So am I right in thinking as well, I'm not sure it actually makes any sense to ask this, but just for my own interest, is it a wet clutch?
It is, yes. It is a wet clutch. It's not a Ducati.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So I'm assuming you know that the wet clutch sits in its own oil of the gearbox and the engine, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, okay, cool. Yeah. And that's why, obviously, a Ducati goes clang, 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 clang. Sounds like a bloody bag of nails.
Is it therefore a bit harder to drive or use the clutch?
Not really. No, they're just you've still got a clutch basket. All the reason you can hear the sound is because it's not submerged in oil, so it's just vibrating. You know, it's you can hear all the oscillations more amplified.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the fun of being a wet clutch. It's very loud. It's very noisy. It's very smooth. that sums that bike up. It's a weapon. I think if I could go back, maybe I would have gone and bought a GSXR 750. I've gone down a size maybe on the CC.
Really?
Yeah, I would.
A bit too much?
You just can't use it on the road. Amazing machine. I mean, the day I rode it to this day, it just gets better and better, and it's the Triumph is destroyed by it. The Triumph Speed Triple I had is outdated by 20 years by a bike that's 20 years older than it. Well, it's not 20 years. It's, what is it? So for 2015, mine was 10 years, isn't it? Roughly, 11 years. But it was the Triumph feels like a bike from the 80s. Which it is actually. The architecture is built on a bike from the 90s, so it's technically 30-year old architecture in a new flagship model, which is pretty wrong.
Yeah.
I'm on that rant right now. I love bikes. Suppose really, if I sort of should move on from the old one, because I keep that brief because it's sort of already been discussed, but.
Mm-hmm. You've got something a bit special.
I have got something a bit special. So we're going to go back to Jamie for a second here, because Jamie inspires me. He's got an incredible head on him. is what's it called? Not a willy head, by the way. A mind. Just in case your dirty mind was thinking that.
me? No.
Dirty sausage. so he started doing a Minimoto project, and he was doing a hub motor, which is a direct drive, same sort of thing you get on Segways and you know, the hoverboard things, and all that, they're all the rage. Now they've kind of gone out of date. You can get those hub motors pretty cheap. So he's built this Minimoto on a hub motor, and it's pretty insane. We haven't tested it yet. He has, I haven't. But it does wheelies, no speed at all. So his is, it's running 800 RPM. If you know anything about electronics, then his hub motor does 800 RPM. That's no load. So obviously it's got no weight on it. It does, I think it's 2.8 kilowatts, which is 2,800 watts, basically, of is what it's producing.
And just to be quite obvious about this, it is fully electric. There is nothing else.
It is, yeah. It's fully electric. And this is what... So it inspired me, because I thought, you know what? I fancy doing that. But I don't want to do the hub drive, because I want to be able to change the gearing.
Yes,
so
sure.
I have gone and bought
a hub motor attaches straight to the wheel, doesn't it? So there's no gearing between the motor.
It is the wheel in itself. So the hub motor is... The hub motor, the tyre's on the hub motor.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
It is a physical, just that whole unit is itself.
Yes, right.
Right, so that's what he's done. And I thought, right, I want to do it, but I'm going to do it chain drive, because I want to be able to change the gearing, so you can get, you know, proper motors and things like that. I went in search for Minimoto, and I've been searching for the last 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, something like that. It's been a while. Since he started his, I thought, yeah, I need to do this too. This looks fun. Because I really want to go sliding up the road. it's pretty much gonna happen on his and on mine. So I went on the search, and I found a really nice frame. It's like a kid's mini motocross bike. A lot of people on the mini moto groups that we're on have slated it in the fact that those frames are a little bit weak. They're not really designed, you know, a mini moto can take an adult. They can struggle, but all I'm seeing is it's a metal frame. I can see the weak points. What's stopping me in welding on stronger bits? More metal means more strength. Yeah, as long as your weld's good. Mine isn't, it's bird shit, but I'll get someone that knows how to do it. So I'm just going to add bits of metal where the strength isn't there. I'm adding slightly bigger bearings. I'm just going to, you know, sort of overspec it a little bit. To take it says on the frame 75 kilos is max weight. I weigh 120, so a little bit over spec.
Yeah, a little bit.
A tad. But I've basically stripped that down. I'm going to weld these extra bits onto it when I can. And my specs on this should be, I've just bought the speed controller. So the speed controller is it's like an ECU. If you're a car person, you don't know about them, motors and things. So basically, it takes the battery, it takes an input, something, you know, so a throttle or a pedal or whatever you plug into it, something to regulate, you know, the power that's going to the motor, and then that power obviously gets taken to the motor. So this ESC is rated at 100 amps, and you work out the watts via volts times amps. So I'm going to run it at 48 volts times 100 amps, which is obviously 4.8 kilowatts. 4,800 watts, 4.8 kilowatts. However, when this ESC come through, I realised that its safe zone is programmable. Its safe zone set to 180 amps. So I could be producing 8 kilowatts, roughly, if my motor doesn't blow up. Bear in mind the motor is already going to have water cooling because it's already going to be overspec'd at 4.8.
Sure.
So it's going to have proper fan, cooling, radiator. It'll have a little 12-volt motor in there blowing water around the system. It'll be proper coolant, like waterless coolant, like you get in computers. And that'll be flowing around a water jacket that goes around the motor and keeping it all cool. But to put it in perspective, 4.8 kilowatts is 800 watts more powerful than a Renault Twizy. This bike, a Renault Twizy, weighs 400 kilos. This bike weighs 20.
That's so going to be
if I have
dangerous
eight going through it.
You're already faster than a Renault Twizy.
I am. Well, I'm already dead, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure. So, it could be. I would imagine. I think 4.8 is going to be too much.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
So you were telling me, basically, if you've got too much power, obviously it's electric. There's just tons of torque available.
Yeah, there's loads.
You
of
were saying to me that through this speed controller, you'll be able to tune that. So is it going to be possible to tune it to give you lower torque at the lower end of?
Yes.
What, the RPM?
Yes, you can do that. So what you do
is... So you can
is,
really tune the whole power... The power...
You can do like the whole graph, power basically. Curve, yeah. You can do the
That's
whole power curve.
Cool.
So, basically, you've got continuous and peak. So I could set the continuous to 50, and then, obviously, the burst to 100. So...
If you're going to have to define those for me.
amps. So you can change the amps and how much amps it's putting out when you blip the throttle.
Okay.
So
right.
You can obviously your peak burst. So if I just went slam and opened the throttle, it would go right. Oh, I need to give it all this power to get it me up to speed. I need to be at top speed. So it will just put in 100 amps all the time, continuous, until it gets to its max speed and it will drop down to 50.
Right.
I'm not too. So I've got to say this. I'm not overly sure on electrics myself. I'm learning all of this from Jamie, and from forums and YouTube and stuff like that. So. He's taught me a shitload in the last couple of weeks. I've learned all this in the last couple of weeks. There's... I'm just saying, shut up, Goose! You're a noisy cow.
Goose is his dog, not partner.
Shut up, Goose. You're a noisy cow, but she's a dog.
She's a dog, yes.
Yeah. But also, this programming software has got... you can program how much regen braking you want, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, I didn't realise that was possible with what you're doing. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, obviously, you roll off the throttle. I mean, I can set it to 100%, in which case the wheels will just lock up and you go flying over the front. It would be a proper brake. But, obviously, you can set it to sort of 20%. So you roll off the throttle and you will get genuine recharge back into the batteries to give you more life. So going around a track, I could maybe get 10 minutes. This might extend it. It's not going to do much. Probably 12 minutes. But it is something. It's extra.
Yeah, sure.
And then the other thing is you can change the acceleration curve on its own without changing the peaks of the amps and things. So you can actually... I've set it to 100% because I don't know how it's going to perform. But sure. You could put it down to maybe 10%. So then it completely adjusts all the settings on it. So it would go... Ooh. Rather than wah, but I want the wah, so I'm keeping it at 100 until otherwise. I mean, the other thing
until
is
you
I'm really
go to hospital.
Pretty much, yeah. Until I smack my head on the ground and get concussion and blood clot.
Yep.
The other thing is, I'm not sure how. Basically, the mini moto chains are only 6 mil, so I'm not sure yet how much torque. We will find out because it will snap and it will come around like a whipping thing. It'll bloody hurt.
Yeah.
But that's my real gripe with it at the moment is the chain strength. You can get bigger chains. You can get 8 mil, which I might have to switch up to. But then that's more mod work, basically. Everything I'm doing is practically going to be a modification on this thing. It's literally came with a two-stroke engine. The two-stroke engine's gone.
Yeah.
And everything electric coming in. So, it's exciting. It's exciting. That probably sounded really boring to other people, but I'm very excited about it.
I think what people need to know, if they're not, and stuff.
Yeah,
I think what people need to know, if they're not too bothered about the electrics, it's going to be a weapon. It's going to be a serious weapon. Because all these electric cars. Electric cars are fucking fast these days.
Yeah. The other thing is, it spins at unloaded. If you think Jamie's one's travelling at 800 RPM, this is 5,600. So
this is a Willy measuring competition.
Well, it's not really, because I've actually said to him, look, I'm not trying to outdo you. Don't think of it like, it's not a competition. Yeah. For me, I just wanted to do chain drive and I wanted to go all in with the money that I could spend on it, which is a lot, to be honest. It's come up to be a lot of money. Too much, really.
Sure.
But I thought, if I can spend that money on it and we can think, right, that's the benchmark, then maybe we can collab in a project and make something that does both.
Yes. Yes,
you know, or a mini moto, a chain drive mini moto on a mini moto chassis, or a pit bike. Perhaps we could go bigger. So you've got like the CRF 50 size, and we get a bigger motor and stuff like that. It's not. I don't want it to be like that. It does sound like it's like that, but it's not. I'm not overspecking to beat him at all. It's not what I'm doing it for. I'm literally doing it because I'm a lot fatter than him. He's not fat at all. He probably weighs about 9 stone, and I'm 19. So, it's also I weigh a lot more.
And it's the interest, you know, you're interested in it.
Absolutely.
It's the fun of learning.
Of course it is, and it's experimentation. So, you know, I get to create a water cooling jacket, whereas he created an entire rear wheel. He'd done all of that. He machined a rear wheel to make his. I've got some build pictures of his, and they are amazing. The stuff he was doing is freaking genius. It's like all these CNC milling out all the center hubs of these wheels, so we can put the hub inside it, and then that's all machined out and screwed. Oh, it looks great, and he's put all there's air cooling holes all around it as well in the hub, so the hub gets all air moving round, it's good.
That sounds really good.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we'll have to do something like that, because this is the kind of project that's innovative, and as far as I know, I haven't seen anyone
do exactly this. There is other people that have done it. Not quite the same way. A lot of people... There is a guy that did a pit bike that was 25 kilowatt, and that thing was batshit crazy. It did 80 mile an hour in just under 3 seconds. And that's a bike you're sitting on... That is about, I suppose, once you're sitting on it, probably, I don't know, what are you, maybe a foot and a half, 2 foot off the ground?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a CRF 50 size, so it's a kid's 50cc bike.
Yeah. Bloody hell. Well, that's mad.
Oh, the video is epic. He just, like, wheel spins everywhere he goes. The wheels can't grip. There's so much torque.
Yeah, I mean, are you afraid that, I mean, are you going to drive it on the road?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it illegal?
Yeah.
Just is it?
No, it's not legal. No, it's illegal.
I was going to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, totally illegal. Yeah, but I'll definitely go around the block on it.
Oh, God, yeah.
I've got to.
Yeah, exactly.
Just see me slide.
Are you afraid that there is going to be too much power for such a small chassis?
That's the fun. That just, you haven't, you can probably hear it. Just, you can hear the grin on my face. Like,
I think that just summed up why you're doing it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's too much power for too small a chassis.
Exactly.
That's exciting.
In all honesty, what's exciting me the most is I've got slick tyres on it, and I'm going to go deliberately on a wet day on the grass so I can slide across the golf course, and I'm going to video it.
I'm having the video. That can go straight on Facebook.
I intend to come off this bike. I intend to come off it and slide it about. I'm really hoping it's going to be as powerful and exciting as I hope it's going to be.
I hope so. If anyone wants to sponsor this, by the way, it's giving parts or giving time or even money.
Please contact me
at alex@granddonation.com.
Yeah. Money and parts would be great, because it's costing a lot of money at the moment.
Yes.
So just to quickly, before we move on to your projects or cars and stuff, to put it in perspective, the 50cc engine, China one, cheap shit, you can get that for 40 quid. My ESC alone cost 170.
Well, there you go.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
So people, if you're feeling giving, it's almost Christmas. It's not, but it's almost Christmas. Give Bentley some money.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is the end of my public service announcement.
Actually, just before we move on, I just thought I remembered that you asked that question.
Oh, yes. So I was going to say, we were talking about this earlier, and I asked a question, and Bentley said, no, don't ask me that yet. Ask it during the podcast. So I'm going to ask it now. Is this electric bike turning someone who is just, you live for petrol fumes, you live for the rumbling of a V8, Is this persuading you to prefer the electric motor?
No.
Okay, we'll be back after the break. Get yourself a cup of tea. I'm going to have a wee. And then after the break, we'll talk about what I've been doing in the last however many months. Talk in a second.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the GTM podcast. Now, a bit of plugging. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Grand Tour Nation. Or go to www.grandtournation.com. This podcast is currently sponsored by nobody. So if you have a business or know someone who might be interested, please let us know by messaging us on one of our many social sites.
Yeah, right. What have you been doing? Because Alex is the man that so far for the last roughly a year, maybe a bit more, has been bouncing and pissing me off with all the different cars that he would like to have. And he decides on one and then thinks, no, I'm going to look again.
Yeah, so that's just happened as well. So
oh, God.
It's just happened again.
So what did we decide on earlier? Start from the beginning.
Let me start from the beginning.
So, first.
Bear in mind that I've just bought a house and I've got a wedding coming up and then a honeymoon, and these are all very expensive things.
They are.
And I don't have a lot of money. so when I'm
rubbish.
Looking for a car, I've got to think, okay, can I actually put the finances into this? So I currently have a Lexus IS 200,
which is
fine.
It's a lovely car. There's nothing wrong with
it. It's a lovely car. Yeah. It's not fast, but it's very comfortable and it gets me from A to B with no drama whatsoever.
Yep.
The chassis is great, but I eventually want some more power.
Yep.
Or something a bit lighter and something a bit more fun.
Yep.
So, the initial thought was to stay with Lexus because I trust the engines, I trust the cars, I think they're solid things, except for the roof, which we found out wasn't so solid when it comes into contact
with
Bentley's
bottom.
You can't
really give it that. That's wrong.
It's fine.
120 kilograms sitting on top of it.
Yeah,
it was the metal, probably.
While drifting sideways.
Yes, actually, yeah, which was very scary.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. In hindsight, we should have gone a bit slower, a bit more straight.
It would have hurt if I'd come off, I think.
Yes, I think so, because you were on the right hand side of
there's
the car.
A great picture.
And I was rotating left. So if you
come
off, you would have gone under the wheel.
Or thrown into the steel fence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry, carry on. You were saying something.
I was going to say that there's a great picture on Facebook of me. There's one, and I'm sitting on the roof, and I'm like, yeah, it's great. And then there's this other shot of me just after he's gone round the bend, and you can just see my face, and I'm clinging on for dear life, like, shit, this is really fun, but I kind of want to get off.
Yeah, I think you did get off eventually. I was like, I'm going to do donuts.
The only reason I got off was for you to do donuts, and then I sat in the car with Lydia on my lap.
Yes, God,
it was
yes,
very cosy.
Exactly. It was very close, wasn't it?
Yes.
I wanted to stay with Lexus because I like the brand. Yeah. So I was looking at the LS400 mainly because it's a quality car, and mainly because the LS400 has that glorious V8, and I've heard really good things with Matt Farah's Million Mile Lexus. Did I say Lotus?
You did initially,
Lexus.
And then you changed it.
Lexus.
Yeah.
Lotus.
Was a Lexus.
Yeah, we'll get to the Lotus. So yeah, the Lexus LS400. I was quite tempted because it's not a track car, but it's got a cool V8, and I was kind of thinking, you know what, it'd be nice to just get a cruiser, which has enough power, but is also an automatic and quite easy to drive.
Yeah.
Because really, at the moment, I'm not at the point in life where I want to go to the track. That's what I was thinking at that time anyway. So
that was a year ago.
Yeah, so then the next car I fancied was a Lotus Elise. which is
the
complete opposite of an LS400.
Yeah. There's a clear progression of, slow. No, I'm going to go a bit quicker. Now, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to go full track thoroughbred.
Yes. And then, I quite fancied an Elise. And I was thinking, you know what? I can just get it on the monthly drip. I can just finance it and not have to worry so much.
Not a brand new one, by the way, chaps, folks.
No, this isn't a brand new one. No. It would be like,
yeah. 07,
I think I was looking at 2006. 2007, 2006, something like that.
Yeah. Still nice.
And I was thinking, oh yeah, still nice. Yeah. So I was thinking that'd be cool.
Then you got bored of that.
Then I got bored of it because I was thinking, well, it'd be great at the weekends, but what if I wanted to do an hour's drive?
You want
to
come and see me,
Oxford
yeah.
or something. Exactly. It's just going to be a pain.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, something in the middle.
Grand Tourer,
Nissan
something
350Z.
Nissan 350Z. Along came that.
350Z, yeah. And then that was cool, but was really to cool. be honest, I'd heard very bad things about the 370Z. I heard that the 350Z was better, and they took a step in the wrong direction with the 70, but again, I still wasn't 100%, and really, for the price I'm looking at, I mean, it was doable, especially on the finance, but, you know, I wasn't
just
so sure
a little bit
about...
too edgy.
Yeah, a little bit too much. And again, it hasn't got that kind of, you know, I can't put loads of stuff in the boot because, you know, I'm going to the tip every bloody weekend.
Yep.
It's ridiculous doing this house.
Welcome to owning a house.
Yeah, exactly. So then I was
myself,
like, oh, but yeah. I was like, okay, what about a Volvo estate?
And here we go. Yeah.
I was set on this for a long time.
I
fancied a Volvo
and
I was looking
at
new Volvos. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to splurge.
And get a brand new one. Yeah.
Get a brand new V70 or something.
Yeah,
the estate V70. But again, not so powerful. So where did I end up then? I've gone through so many cars.
Well, you come back to the IS400 for a while.
Well, before that, yeah, I went back to the LS400 for a bit.
LS400, sorry, yeah.
And then I saw, it was actually at the car show, the car show that's just been, what was it called? Radwood? Which is basically Goodwood.
Yeah.
But for 80s and 90s retro cars. Really cool. And I saw a guy called Luke. Luke, who I think his dad owns Luden, which is a big, big company.
Oh, yeah, Luke.
Around Essex. And, well, around national, really.
Yes,
they do a load of stuff all over
the
tracks.
They do a lot of it is southeast, basically. So they do Brands, Lydenhill.
Silverstone.
Silverstone and a couple of others, yeah. And then they also do track days and... Yeah,
these are the guys. If a Formula One car crashes, these are the guys that pick it up and take it back to base. Like they
pretty
are,
much, yeah.
They're a big company, big trusted company, and they're all great guys.
They're really nice guys as well.
They are really nice, really giving.
The owners are really lovely people. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He brought his Mercedes 190E, and it was the Cosworth. And I saw that car, and I thought, oh,
that is mine.
Is it. It's got a bit of everything. It's light, so it's trackable. Obviously, it was a car that kind of kickstarted the fast sports saloon movement with, you know, the BMW M3 coming out later on and a competition starting between Mercedes and BMW.
Yeah. A competition that produced some really freaking awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Including those cars.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was it, and I was stuck on that for a good couple of weeks.
Yeah, that lasted
a good couple of weeks.
I wouldn't say a couple of weeks. That was a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay, maybe a week.
This is just how often he changes his mind and why it winds me up. It's a very good example because this is this has been happening the whole time. He's just mentioned a small outline brief of what
these cars have been.
Yeah,
these are
the main ones.
The big ones.
And it turns me to the point of just get something and shut up.
Yes.
And he's like, but I quite like the Lexus still. And he's like, argh! Yeah.
The thing is, the Mercedes would be the perfect car. The Mercedes, to me,
is a perfect car. But they are also, now I think this is what we're going to come to in a second, is they are also, they go for a lot of money nowadays.
So, yeah. So I was looking at the 2.3-litre Cosworth. The 2.3 over the 2.5 because 200 horsepower it doesn't need to be fast, it just needs to be fun.
Yeah.
And the chassis is what sells that car. And apparently the 2.3 is a little bit sportier as well. With the 2.5, they increased the gearing and gave it a bit more speed. But I think it made the car a tiny bit lazy.
Yeah, he wanted to be a little bit snappier up the
first couple of
gears.
But the thing is that's 20 to 25 grand for a car that does 0 to 60 in 8 seconds. And yes, it's a fun car, but is it worth 25 grand just because it's an icon?
No.
Hell no.
Even if it
appreciates, I don't want to spend 25 grand on a car that, yes, might make me money, but, you know, I could get... You know what cars you could get for 25 grand?
A lot.
Damn!
You could get some really nice brand new stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a year old.
I'm not going to spend that much money. So now I'm thinking, okay, fine.
You know what you could do with 25 grand? That probably would be not purely in your taste, but I like them. And they go for around that money. V6 Clio.
Ooh.
They're 30 grand.
Yes, but again...
It's not practical for you at all.
No, that's the thing. And to be honest, I'm thinking, you know, I want a car that I can just go to the shops in, that I don't have to think about driving. I think with a V6 Clio, I'd think... Well, I mean, first of all, I kind of want a rear-wheel drive car as well.
Yeah, that's fair enough. They're all wheel, aren't they? And also, you've got no boot because the engine is there.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I want to be able to take my mum to Oxford if I need to.
That's fair enough. So have you... Because I haven't heard from this point of what you switched to. So what have you switched to now?
So yesterday...
Oh, God. it was a week then, basically.
Yeah.
So the 190E lasted a week.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So yesterday I thought to myself, you know what? I could just deal with the IS200, repair it, because it's in need of a bit of TLC.
Yeah.
It needs some rust work and it needs...
dent taken out the roof.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It just needs a bit of TLC.
Tidy up, yep.
Why don't
you just spend a grand or 2 grand on that?
Exactly.
And then keep
spend
it.
A couple of grand on the car, and then I can, you know, modify it and put some shocks on it, and maybe even a turbo, or even swap the engine.
Body kit. We want a body kit
and some decals. BTCC body kit.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make it a track car that I can go to the shops in. And then I thought, well, I'm probably going to swap it with the V8 from the LS400, so I might as well just get the LS400. So I've gone round in a circle. It's taken me about, I've been wanting to get a new car for about 4 months now.
but now I would say it's been a year overall.
Yeah, it's been, so
that you've been looking at different, not necessarily wanting, but looking. Mm. You've definitely been
I've never been 100% happy with the IS200.
No, you have said that from the beginning, the moment he bought it. He was very excited when he bought it.
Yeah, I was excited.
That was when I first met you. Not long
after. Exactly. So I'd just crashed the car before that. I had an MX-5. I aquaplaned and hit the side of a dual carriageway.
The question is, though, did the dual carriageway move for you? Or did you
I'm
get in the way of
yes.
it?
I think the dual carriageway moved.
I think it did, yeah.
I think the Earth
much like
the Earth
van
spin
did
slightly
when
altered.
Liam went around the corner in the Escort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the Porsche got booted
up the
arse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing is I get bored very quickly of cars, so I was kind of bored of the MX-5 anyway. Despite rebuilding all the brakes and spending a load of money on it, and that was a good car.
The thing
is,
you might have got bored of it,
but
you intended on keeping it because it was fun.
Yes, and also it was a special edition, and I was hoping to make some money out of it.
Ah,
I didn't. Just to clear that up.
Yeah,
I didn't make any money on it.
Put things into the bloody central reservation. That's what happens. Unfortunately, they lose money.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I think the scrapyard made a bit of money though. So I bought the IS200 because it was basically the opposite. I thought, you know what, it's a bit, it's a straight six over, you know, an inline four.
Yeah.
I'll just enjoy that for a bit and just get, you know, just drive something different. A saloon, comfortable, not at all really sporty. Like it's sporty than the average saloon, but it's not sporty.
It's not,
and then I got
it's
bored
not a bad car. I think it's great.
It's not
smooth,
a bad car.
It's powerful.
It's really not, no.
It shifts. The only thing I would say that's bad about it is the fuel economy is shocking. But
the fuel economy is really bad.
Yeah, but then again, you do have a heavy foot. So
I don't tend to...
I've found with cars
I'm kind of either off or on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So when he comes up to a slip, most people go, shift. With him, it's like, shift.
Everything's a racetrack, suddenly. Everything's a racetrack.
He uses the whole rev range of the car. Meanwhile, when you hit that, whatever it is, 4.5, 5K, the car's like, ooh, I might suck some fuel now.
Yeah.
And then
there's a noticeable shift. There's a noticeable shift at about 4,000 RPM where it goes faster, but I can literally see my fuel gauge going down.
Yeah, so I'm thinking if you drove... Because, in all fairness, I've... that Saphira is supposed to get, 40 to the gallon, but I have... Mm. Because I'm sort of used to the bike a bit now, I kind of boot it around a little bit. Not hard, but I boot it.
Yes.
So it goes up and change, and it doesn't get very good fuel economy either. So I'm thinking a lot of its fuel economy is down to your boot.
Yeah, so yeah. I know for a fact that I'm using more fuel than
the average
user.
Well,
it could be better. But I'm sad and I'm on forums and it's a known issue. Not an issue, but it's a known fact that the IS200 does suck up fuel.
Yeah. Right.
So
okay.
Maybe a V8 isn't a good idea for me anyway. But the thing is as well, I've got this other dilemma of the fact that I'm starting to get press cars. So I'm getting cars that I can just drive because, you know, the majority of them are boring. Not, I shouldn't say that. The majority of them are interesting but slower cars. You know,
they're
SUVs.
They're just daily. Like they're the daily sort of car that you would want to buy if you were, you know, a young person with an interest, or an older person, or perhaps a person with a family. They're an everyday car, aren't they? That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not. They're not sports cars.
No.
So why would I bother getting another one of them that I actually own and I'm gonna lose money on it? Why bother? Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, well, you know what? I kind of want the criteria I'm looking at. Is I'm looking at a car that I can, maybe a rarer car like the LS400, that I can really look after, and I can take it to a show, and someone will go, "Oh yeah, you don't see that every day," and that's a really nice, that's a really nice car. Like, you know, that's been kept really nicely. So that's the kind of thing I was looking at with the 190e. You don't see that every day, and it's a cool car, and I think it would be fun. It's just not worth the money.
That would be poured over, but. The money is not really worth.
I honestly think
if you had one of them for that amount of money, you wouldn't really drive it because you'd be so worried.
Yeah,
about
you'd be
scared,
wouldn't you? Yeah, yeah. I definitely wouldn't be able to insure it for business use.
No,
that would be really, really bad. So I'd have to get another car as well, and that would be useless.
Pointless. You've totally defeated the object.
Yeah.
See,
so
now
I've been
trying to tempt him, but he keeps saying he's bored, but he hasn't tried it yet. And so I keep saying, well, why don't you just have the Lexus or a sensible car and then a bike? Because then you get the speed, acceleration, handling and everything else. But he also says that bikes scare him a little bit, but he hasn't ridden one. He's just been on the back of mine, which is quite scary.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think I still want that performance from a car. I think bike performance is great, but I think it's a different thing. Like, I'd want that additionally. Really. In the perfect world, I want a bike and a fast car.
Because that's, in all fairness, and like the last, obviously the recent, last recent months, with the Beetle. So I got the Beetle working again. I went out for a couple of drives with Liam. Mm. And I just thought, you know what? As much as I've always... sort of, it's a hypocrite, really. I was a hypocrite with the sports bike. I'm a hypocrite with this. I've always said I want to keep my Beetle original. I want to keep it, you know, stock as I'd like it. And I go out in it. And she was my daily drive for 8 years. And I've become almost like an old friend, really complacent. And it's not like I'm bored of it, because that would be the wrong word. Because I'm not bored. I still go into the garage and I think, and I get in it. Oh, and the smell and everything. I love it. I love tinkering with it and all that. But there's part of me now that wants to go, right, I want to put a racing engine in it. I want to have the fun of building the racing engine. I want it to sound racy. I want it to have a turbo in it. I want it to go, because they sound, a boxer engine sounds amazing it's on a low, lumpy, glug, 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 glug. It's like a V8, but high pitched. And then when they go off, I mean, it's only a four-cylinder, it's a flat four, but they sound like a Porsche, but with a turbo.
Yeah.
Like an old-fashioned Porsche, and then you get that, whee, and you're like, yes! And then, I mean, you can get 185 brake out of one, which doesn't sound a lot. But
it's a light car.
That's a very light car, and it's a lot of torque as well.
Yeah.
So I just think it'd be really fun, and I wouldn't do anything else to it. I'd just chuck the engine and gearbox in it. So I'd build a racing gearbox, build a racing engine, and just chuck it in it and have fun.
Yeah, I think the thing is that, you know, you get used to a car, and you want the next thing. You know, it's like when you're earning money. When you're a kid and you're earning 10 quid a week, that's gold dust, you know.
Of course
that's amazing.
It is,
and then
it's relative, isn't
it? Then you just want the next step up, and I think it's the same with cars. You know, the MX-5 was the first car I bought which had a sporty nature to it. And 6 months in, I was like, okay, I want something faster. This isn't fast enough. although it was much faster than the car I had before that. And yeah. I think, to be honest, whatever car I'm going to get in 6 months, I'm going to want something faster.
That's the trouble. And that's where I obviously going on bikes again. I bought the R1, and it's the first machine I've ridden that I think I want to go down.
Because that's interesting. That is interesting.
I've reached a peak at the point where actually 188 mile an hour on the road as a top end is unusable. Yeah. You can use it. There's a lot of guys probably listening to this and thinking, "Ha, what a pussy! He's not going quick enough." But there is a point where you think, actually, in first gear on this bike, I'm doing 106 mile an hour. Where do you need that? You cannot use it. And there's part of fun in a bike when you go into a corner and you have to shift down gears. I don't have to. I can go from one corner to the next and not shift out a third.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing well over a ton. And you lose your license at 30 mile an hour over the limit. So in first gear, I've already lost my license.
Yeah, exactly. Those listening, Bentley is the kind of guy who, if it's dangerous, you're on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you saying that this is too fast means it's really, really too fast. On the road.
On the road, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a track bike. If I took it on it's too slow. If it was on the track, I'd be... I'd love to go on the H2 or the H2R because you can do 210 on them. That's what an amazing experience. But on the road, it becomes... It's a great bike, but it's almost become a chore.
Yeah. Because is it getting to the point where you need to think about... Yeah, I was just going to say, is it getting to the point where you need to physically put input into the bike to stay slow and to slow yourself down?
Yeah. So it's like having... If you were to have... Like you said, so you're going to keep going up and up and up and up. But eventually, you will get to a point where the car is too powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually fear... this is my problem. I fear myself. I don't fear the machine. I fear me. Because I know I'll push it.
Yeah, well, the machine is always going to be more talented than the driver.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, that bike is... 200... I'm not a great rider at all. I'm not that skilled of a rider. I'm slow. You know, I'm not fast at all. I'm not that skilled. But when it gets to that point and you think... this is getting to a point where if the bike's not forcing me to do, it's always yelling. That's the thing. So it's going to be like if you went and got, I don't know, a track tuned, like, I tell you what, like that Audi actually that we drove. That was constantly chomping at the bit. At low RPM, it's lumpy, it's a bit shit to drive. And when you're as soon as you get to that 40 upwards, it's fucking great. It comes into its own little pling. And that's the problem with that is I don't realise that I'm riding around at 50 mile an hour. Around 30 mile an hour streets, 20 mile an hour streets, because you don't feel like you're going that quick on it. I think maybe you would get to that point with your cars eventually. But the trouble is, to get to that point, you spend so much money. I had to spend £3,700 quid and I've got it. But you're going to be like...
That's the thing. With cars, you spend serious money. And
of course, also, you'd spend 50 grand on an engine and you'd have a 1500 brake Supra or something like that. But
The thing is as well, what I'd love to do is, you know, when I've got... I don't want to talk about it in a negative way. I'm not meaning this in a negative way, but when the wedding and everything is over,
money. It's not like you're wishing it away. You want it to come.
Yes, exactly.
You'll have spare change.
But when we've done that, I'm going to have the money to hopefully get some kind of, you know, I want to start training on a track again. I want to put the money into actually getting back on track and doing something fast. But on the road, we need to do it together.
Oh, yeah.
On the road, to be honest, I don't think you can. Most of the time, you can't use more than 300 horsepower.
I would say you're right. I mean,
on a car.
My bike's 172 ish.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, seriously, if you're trying to stay legal, Which we all must do. Even, you know, on a country road, you can't go that fast because a lot of them are blind corners.
And that's the other thing. And a lot of things is, like you said, you were kind of bored of the MX-5, but I'm pretty sure if you got a quicker car, you'd probably find what I'm finding, and you think actually the MX-5 was more fun because it felt like you were driving it fast.
Yeah,
you weren't
they say that
quick. So, like, if you get on, like, this is a good example of going. I always go back to bikes because I love bikes more than cars personally. But my mate's 125's got 18 horsepower. That is a fucking great hoot to ride. I laughed every single minute of it. I was smiling. I was grinning. I nearly crashed it a couple of times. It's the most amazing thing to ride because it's just fun. There's nothing too powerful about it. It's just you can enjoy it. Yeah. And you can really enjoy stuff. Although you're going slow, you feel like you're going quick.
Yeah, I think it. We'll end the podcast now, and I think we need to end it with the message that a lot of people who say, "Oh, you're not going fast enough," or "Oh, your car's not powerful enough," they haven't driven a more powerful car. That's or bike. That is it, because it gets
or
to the
tractor.
Point where you can drive or
There's
tractor.
Powerful tractors out there, and lorries.
There are. Yeah. But it gets to the point where you can drive 10 tenths in an MX-5 and you are having the best time of your life. Yeah. You're not going fast, but it doesn't matter. You know, you haven't got a stopwatch on the road, have you?
It's a very good example. I know we're going to stop it in a second, but a very good example, Steve's Mini.
Yeah, definitely.
A Mini is an amazing thing to be in. Doesn't matter if it's a stock. It's a stock car. But it feels like you're going like, man, it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour in it and you're doing 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sticks to the ground and it's great and it's fun and,
Let's end this podcast with just a question. Would you rather be going 0 to 60 in 2 seconds or have the time of your life going 0 to 60 in 8 seconds?
That's the question. That is
I know which
question.
One I choose. And we'll answer that question in the next podcast.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much for listening to us ramble on about pointless crap you probably don't give a monkey's about. But
yeah, but next time, hopefully we'll have someone else to talk to, because you're more than likely getting bored of my voice.
And I've got a dry voice.
But so do I.
No, your
but
voice
yeah,
is quite nice.
Next week. Every Sunday.
Sorry, dear. I had to be a bit flirtatious there, you know, just to spice things up a little bit.
Oh, Bentley, I'm getting married.
Lydia already knows.
Every Sunday, GTM podcast.
She already knows she's the third wheel in this relationship.
Yes,
and
definitely.
On that note...
We're going to leave it there. Every Sunday, GTM podcast. See you next week.
Tally-ho.